On our 10th anniversary, the value of connection. We're pretty spread out here in Maine. In fact, Maine is the least densely populated state east of the Mississippi. But however far apart we are, we come together every day at 11 to engage in conversation about all kinds of topics in a way that is civil and shows that we care for one another. And it's my privilege to be the facilitator of that conversation on most days. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary with a conversation about human connection. And joining us, an A-list of special guests, singer-songwriter Noel Paul Stuckey, psychologist Amy Wood, Maine CDC's Nirav Shah, and NPR host Diane Rehm. Have you been thinking about the importance of connection in your life, especially now? Maine Calling is just ahead. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We wanted to mark Maine Calling's 10th anniversary with a show about something meaningful, and we realized that what matters most to all of us at Maine Calling is the ability to connect with all of you, our listeners, and for you to connect with the guests on our show each day and to each other. So our topic today is about the power of human connection and how vital it is in our lives. And our guests today have spent their lives connecting with people. We are so excited to have Noel Paul Stuckey, singer, songwriter, and activist. You may recognize him from his solo career or from his work with Peter, Paul, and Mary. And also Amy Wood, psychologist, executive coach, trainer, and frequent Maine Calling guest. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you
for having us, Jennifer.
Yeah, good to be here.
And we invite your questions and comments for both of our guests, or just to tell us your stories about the power of connection. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or give us a call 1-800-399-3566. And boy, have we realized the power of connection and the importance of connection during the past year and a half. Noel, I'm going to start with you. Your entire career is about connection. I mean, all music, really, all songwriting, but especially folk music. When you sit down to write a song, how do you know if it will connect, that it will touch on that thread that connects all of us?
Well, I think possibly for every singer-songwriter, there is a search for authenticity. You want to be able to connect to an audience, so you invent the audience in the privacy of your own mind, and it better bear fruit. I mean, you need to convince yourself that what you're saying is correct, and then to take it out. You're absolutely right about folk music's capacity to connect, because I think one of the more embarrassing moments for an audience at a folk concert is when they're asked to sing along. I mean, for many, that's not a problem, but most of the hulking males who've grudgingly accompanied their wives to the concert go, "Oh, really? I got to sing every day. I got to sing." They're not, their voice is perhaps not their most prized possession, but there is an ongoing quality to folk music that invites participation. And I have to say lyrically that it also investigates common concerns perhaps more than pop music does. And to that extent, I feel like I'm always called in to, you know, examine the human condition and to share at least how it affects me. And eventually I find out when I have an audience, and that is, as you have pointed out, seldom nowadays, I discover that, in fact, yes, I've broached a common subject.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, the live performance, the magic of live performance. What do you think it is, Noel? I mean, we've all experienced it. Anybody lucky enough to get to experience live music, to be at a concert, to have that experience of singing along with the performer to a song. What is it? What is the magic of being in a room full of strangers and all singing together?
That's the magic. I mean, you were strangers until you entered the room.
Why do you think? Or maybe Amy can tell us why.
by common consent, and I'll let Amy continue. No matter what the experience, the reaction, whether you're laughing as a commune, or you know, or whether you're ooh or booing, there's a, you know, suddenly you're wedded to the 40 to 4,000 people that you're in the place with. Amy?
Yeah, I agree. It's about having an experience together, a sense of community, even if it's for just a brief time. And one thing that I learned during the pandemic from a physician I was talking to about 6 months ago, he noticed that some of his longstanding patients who had come in for their annual physicals and had always been very healthy, no problems at all with their health, they started to develop various illnesses, not the pandemic, but other problems. And he really believes that that's because they weren't having those experiences. You know, when we think of connection, we think of, oh, connecting with our loved ones, with family and friends and colleagues. But it's a larger sense of connection when you, let's say, go to a music concert and you're sitting next to a stranger and singing with them, or you're standing in line to get tickets for something, or you're just walking down a sidewalk with other people. That's all form of connection too. And that's what we missed during the pandemic. And that's why this physician feels that people get sick when they don't have that, because we're social beings and we need to connect in those ways, just being out in the world with other people.
And Amy, go ahead, Noel, please.
I was just going to suggest that there's the ad lib connection on a person-to-person basis. You know, prior to the pandemic, although I'm a great believer that you never waste a smile, that a smile is never wasted, prior to the pandemic, the interaction between people in a grocery store was somewhat limited. But now, above the mask line, you have to interpret whether the barging out of your aisle into the path of somebody else should be apologized for. Well, how do you do that? I've become very aware that people talk with a crinkle of their eyes. You read their emotion now. And that's a lovely thing. The more crinkles, the better, I think.
We're having this conversation, Amy, right now via Zoom. And this is something I think that is happening for so many people, whether it's Zoom or another online platform, things that people learned how to use because of the pandemic. Are we connecting? Is this human connection or not?
I think that it is, but I think it's not a replacement for real life, face-to-face, in-person connection. You know, I can remember when the whole pandemic started and I was working at home, I remember thinking, wow, I could get used to this. I really like the convenience of not having to leave my home. And then I realized further into the pandemic, you know, short term, it may feel convenient, but it's not convenient to be isolated. It's not convenient to be separated from people. And now that I'm going back to my office, I feel a greater sense of connection because I value it more, you know, connection with myself, like commuting. I used to hate my commute. I have a half hour commute into Portland where my office is. I used to dread the commute. Now I savor that commute because it's alone time. It's time to listen to my favorite music, my favorite podcasts. And then there's that sense of connection from walking to my office from the car, you know, and passing other people and looking at other people. And then there's connection of people being with me in my office. It's a very different type of connection. So I think the secret here and what we've learned from the pandemic is a hybrid situation works really well. When we can connect face-to-face in real life, that's great, but we don't have to do that all the time. We can augment that like we're doing today. We don't have to be in the same room with people all the time, but I think we need that some of the time. We need to get out of our offices. We need to get out of our homes and be out in the world with people.
Yes, I think that technology affords, well, I'm from an era that remembers Smiling Jack as a cartoon character who, along with Tess Trueheart, discovered the value of a wristwatch with a video on it. I mean, this was, what, 1949, 1950, 1951? Well, guess what? Here we are. So I tend to think that Zoom is a convenience.
Yes.
But that it's no, as Amy pointed out, no substitute for the real heart-to-heart that can happen.
I'm grateful, I will say, that we, when the pandemic started, we did main calling via telephone for a very long time. And I was hesitant to move to Zoom. I wasn't certain that I would be able to handle it, having all these different screens in front of me during the program. But I am grateful to be able to look each of you in the eye while we're doing this program, even if it's not really in the eye, even if it's a video eye. I have to say that right now calling in is Dr. Nirav Shah. He's director of Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Shah needs no introduction, though. Dr. Shah has been connecting with Mainers during the pandemic. Thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Shah. We will not have you answering questions about the pandemic, at least right now, even though we're going to have you back very soon. Thank you for calling in.
Well, good morning and happy anniversary. I'm so honored to be able to join you.
Well, I'm so happy you're able to call in. I know it's always very busy for you. And one of the reasons we had you come on today, Dr. Shah, is we're talking about connection. And we know we've talked to you and you've talked about how much you enjoy being able to talk directly to people and not just talk to them, but listen to them. And I want you to talk about the value of connection for you in this position that you hold, and especially not only the importance of the position, but how important it is for you to get everything that you say just right.
Well, it's such a great question. And again, so happy to be able to join to talk about connection, connectivity, where we are, especially on the anniversary show. And you're absolutely right, Jen. I mean, we talk a lot about communication, and we think of it sometimes in terms of what we project outward, but we don't always remember the other piece, which is to listen and reflect about what people are telling us so that we can be responsive. One of the reasons that I enjoy coming on Maine Calling, for example, is that it's as much listening as it is providing of information. And that, to me, is really the essence of communication. Otherwise, you're just talking. You're not actually communicating. And in this day and age with COVID, there are some interesting things that have changed when it comes to connectedness. On one hand, there's this paradox of connectedness because of the devices we carry around. Arguably, we've never been more connected, right? I mean, I know what my cousin in Seattle eats for breakfast, if he wants to send me a picture of it. Similarly, news that happens halfway around the globe gets dinged to my phone within minutes. So on one hand, we're exceedingly connected, but then because of COVID, we've had to be physically distant. Sometimes that's even translated to socially distant. So there's this paradox where we're connected, but also unmoored at the same time.
What is it like for you when you're out and about visiting vaccination clinics or meeting people from all over the state?
Well, it's great to then be in person, to translate the connections that I try to foster, be it on your program, through regular briefings, on social media. It's great to then translate those into real life. It's so uplifting to see that people, even in the midst of dark times, can find happiness through getting vaccinated, getting their grandparents vaccinated, now getting their kids vaccinated. It's, of course, personally uplifting because it validates the work that our entire team at Maine CDC has been doing. But it's also just spiritually nourishing because, again, times are dark for a lot of people, and they're still difficult. And so when I make these visits, it's partly just for my own psychological well-being to know that even in difficult times, people can still find sources of hope.
Give us some advice. How do we ensure that we foster connections with one another during this pandemic with all of the health and safety measures that keep us apart?
Well, you know, I'll start with last year's experience with the holidays, because we as a state demonstrated that we could gather safely during the holidays, and we can do the same thing this upcoming holiday season. It's not easy to do. It's not what we all wanted it to be as it was in 2019, but it can happen. And that, for me, is the lesson of holidays past. Unfortunately, the things that have to happen take a little bit of advanced planning. Right now, the best thing you can do to have a somewhat normal and connected holiday season is to go get vaccinated, something that folks have heard me mention in the past. But the other, and what differs about this season versus last season, is to make those holiday gatherings happen. Right? Last year, the advice was you should really think about canceling your holiday plans. This year, the advice is there are ways to have those connected gatherings and have them rather than having to cancel them.
Well, Dr. Shah, as always, it's such a pleasure to hear your voice. Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah, he will join us for a full hour next Thursday. And of course, stay tuned for Maine Public for an update with his coronavirus briefings. Dr. Shah, thanks so much for calling in. We have another very special VIP guest coming up after the next break. I'm going to make you wait to find out who that is. But in the meantime, Noel Paul Stuckey, I understand you're going to sing us out of this section of the program. What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to do a song that talks about connections and makes a comparison of all of our connections to the facets of a jewel. Our lives are connected like facets of a jewel. The reluctance of a wise man and the wisdom of a fool, they border on each other, sometimes kind, sometimes cruel. Patches on a quilt, sewn by coincidence, some borders edged in guilt. And though every choice we make creates a different pattern, still our lives are connected. If love is the lesson, then how's the teacher taught? Ooh, yes, our lives are connected like waves upon a shore, sometimes with a whisper and sometimes with a roar. Sometimes we think we leave no trace, but sometimes less is more. And our lives are connected like pages in a book. And the past is the present through which the future looks, like leaves on a river, like ripples in a brook. Our lives are connected. Our lives are connected. Our lives are connected. Our lives are connected.
We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from CEI Maine. From heritage industries to the next big idea, providing advice and capital to help businesses grow. Learn more at ceimaine.org. And Eastern Basements, a division of Maine-owned Eastern Mold Remediation, offering basement waterproofing solutions, easternbasements.com.
On this year's Hanukkah Lights, we dug into the NPR archive to find some of our favorite stories from the last 30 years. I'm Murray Horwitz.
And I'm Susan Stamberg. We will hear a classic story from the great Yiddish writer and humorist Sholem Aleichem.
And there's lots more. We had so much fun hearing these stories again, and we hope you will too.
Don't forget, tune in for Hanukkah Lights from NPR.
This afternoon at 2 o'clock on Maine Public Radio, and Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock on Maine Public Classical. The Maine Public Classical holiday stream offers a delightful selection of seasonal music to help get you in the mood or provide a moment of respite in your busy day. This locally curated stream includes a wide variety of well-known selections, along with new classics and some fun surprises along the way. The Maine Public Classical holiday stream is available now at mainepublic.org and on the Maine Public app. Happy holidays!
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about the power of connection, and we have some pretty special guests on the program with me today. My guest, Amy Wood, psychologist, executive coach, and author, and Noel Paul Stuckey, who is a singer, songwriter, and activist. And yes, that was him singing before our last break. Thank you so much, Noel, for that spectacular performance. You can share your comments or questions. Let us know about a time when you felt the value of connection in your life. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Well, in case you haven't already been blown away enough on today's program, joining us now, Diane Rehm. You know her from her time hosting the Diane Rehm Show, but also in her current role as host of the podcast, Diane Rehm On My Mind, as well as host of the Diane Rehm Book Club. Thank you so much for joining us today, Diane.
Oh, I'm delighted, Jen. Thanks for inviting me.
You set the example of how a talk show can be a vehicle for fostering connections between people. And I'm sure that this is something that you've thought deeply about. I'm wondering, how do you think about this? How does this change the medium of radio, bringing the audience into the conversation?
Well, I think it's something you've already talked about, and that is that I've always felt that talk shows should really be called listening shows, because that's what you and I, Jen, do as hosts. We listen much more than we talk, because for me, that's what public radio is all about. I've always said, you, the listener, are the public in public radio. And I think public radio offers that choice for reasonable, rational discussion among people, among guests, between guests, hosts. Listening is what it's all about, and that's what makes the connection. Learning how to listen is not always easy. You know, too many of us are ready to jump in with the next question we might have or the next comment we want to make, rather than really focusing on what that companion or group has said. And therefore, for me, connections are made through listening. And I'm so glad you're doing this program today. Happy anniversary, as has already been said by others. You know, Jen, that Jonathan Smith, one of your senior producers, worked with me for many years in Washington, D.C. So I was delighted when he invited me to join you today. And I'm really happy to be here.
Talk about a connection.
Indeed.
I want to... Yes, Diane. And, you know, Amy Wood, as a psychologist, I saw you nodding when Diane Rehm said that connection is really all about listening. I thought that was really insightful. And isn't that hard for all of us to really just listen?
Oh, I think it's so hard because we're all so distracted. There's so much going on all the time around us. And I think listening is really the key to feeling connected. It's not really about talking. It's about just being there with an open mind and hearing what others have to say and taking that in and coming back with a contemplative response rather than just reacting. And I think a great example of the power of listening is actually from the California School for the Deaf. We've heard lately about their football team. They've been doing really, really well. Even though they can't hear, they're incredible communicators on the field. You know, they pay attention and they signal through signs. And that to me is really, even though they're not talking, they can't even hear, they're able to communicate better than most of us because of that attention part. So if we want to feel connected, we really do need to just be still and be aware and take in what actually is being said or communicated around us.
I remember standing downstairs, and this one aspect of listening that I think is often ignored because it transcends the ears, but I remember standing downstairs at the Congregational Church next to the minister, and I turned to him and I said, you know what was my favorite part of the service? And I won't say that he puffed up a little bit, but he was truly interested. And he said, no, what was that? And I said, it was when you said, let's all have a moment of silence. And I don't know if he truly understood, but there is such a value in those communal moments of common understanding that there's just a wellspring of spirit that emerges at that grand moment, that intersection of mutual belief that what you're sharing is invisible but precious.
You know, there's actually another part of listening that I value, and that is if I've said something and someone wants to know more, they might ask a question, or in reverse. That's how I make a connection and let that person know I'm really listening. I ask a follow-up question about what that person has said. We've just gone through Thanksgiving, and so many people have talked about how difficult it is to bring families together who have different experiences, different outlooks, different political thoughts. Sometimes it's really hard to hear those different political thoughts. But the way to perhaps engage and to be a part of the conversation is to ask a little more about what that person is thinking, not in any hostile way, not in any angry way, but literally to try to understand better and to know that person better. Ordinary conversation makes connections, as we are doing this morning, and it's lovely. I'm enjoying it.
Diane, can you think of any examples that come to mind of when particularly special connections were made through your shows?
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I can think of many, Jen, but one in particular, which you may have heard me talk about before, Mr. Rogers was one of my heroes. He truly treated all human beings with such kindness and with such respect, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter where they came from, what they did, what color they were, whatever their backgrounds were. And I can remember talking with him and asking him whether he was ever sad. And he said, yes, I do get sad. And I said, well, what do you do when you're sad? He said, I play the piano a lot, and I think I'll be playing it a lot today. And I said, why are you sad? And he said, because I'm not feeling well. And he actually said, because my stomach hurts. That was the last live interview he did. He died of stomach cancer just a month or two later. But before he died, he sent me a little book. And on the cover of the book is a mirror. And the book is titled, You Are Special. And in it, he wrote, you really are special, Diane. Love, Fred Rogers. And that book sits on my nightstand to this day. He was so special.
What a great story.
Yes, very good story.
Jonathan wants me to ask you about Albert Racehaus sample, Diane.
Well, I think Jonathan knows this story very well because we rebroadcast it on Christmas Eve for so many years. Racehaus Sample spent 17 years in one of the worst prisons in the United States for armed robbery. At least one of those years was in total solitary confinement. And that's when he made his connection to God. And he credited that connection with God when he got out because the governor of Texas, where he had been in prison, gave him a job helping other prisoners who were coming out of prison find jobs for themselves. So here was a man who could have been so bitter, who could have been so resentful. But because of the year he spent in solitary and making that connection in his heart with God, he became such a helpmate to so many other people. His book is titled Racehaus, spelled H-O-S-S, Big Emma's Boy, and I think it's still in print in paperback. He was a lovely man. I went down to Texas 10 years later to visit with him.
We're going to go to Ron, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. When you said you had a special guest coming on, and then when I heard Diane's voice, I was so touched and so pleased to hear her. I used to listen to her, and I was so sad that she left. And I always thought that she had had a stroke. And I had met Jennifer one time at some function, and she said that that was not the case. And I just want to say to Diane that you are the voice of compassion and empathy. I could feel your words when you spoke. And I just want to say thank you very much for your time, and stay healthy and be safe. And thank you very much.
Thank you. That's so kind of you. I understand a number of people thought I had had a stroke. In fact, it was spasmodic dysphonia, which so affected my voice. I'm still going out to Oregon Health and Sciences Hospital in Portland, Oregon, probably twice a year, for an injection of Botox into my vocal cords to keep me going, because those vocal cords with spasmodic dysphonia are so tight that they do not allow air in. What a situation as a talk show host I found myself in, but with the help of beloved doctors whom I still see twice a year, I am still on the air. And I know there are lots of people who thought, what is that woman doing on the air with a voice like that? But once they got over the voice, the sound of the voice, and began listening to the subject matter, they really got past it. And so I thank you so much for your kind words. I want you to know I've just celebrated my 85th birthday and still going strong with the podcast once a week, the book club once a month, to which you can all tune in at DianeRehm.org, and I'd love to have you join us.
Ron, thank you so much for your call. And Diane, thank you so much for joining us on this special day. Diane Rehm, and she really needs no introduction. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get another song with Noel Paul Stuckey and a lot more listener calls in for this, our 10th anniversary program.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, helping homeowners address climate change with energy audits, window replacement, and insulation. More at evergreenyourhome.com and Choral Art, celebrating Christmas at the Cathedral with the Portland Brass Quintet, December 4th and 5th at Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, choralart.org.
I'm Scott Tong. In a new book, Bloomberg reporter Peter Robison argues that a shift in corporate culture at Boeing led to two deadly crashes.
The approach is to focus on moving manufacturing overseas and outsourcing, taking a huge chunk of the profits of the company and delivering them straight to shareholders.
That's next time on Here and Now.
Here and Now, coming up shortly after Maine Calling from 12 noon until 2 o'clock on Maine Public Radio. Not only is Maine Public Television available free over the air, it's also streaming live at mainepublic.org. You can enjoy all of your favorite PBS and Maine Public Television programs and even discover new favorites throughout the day. Check it out at mainepublic.org/MPTV. If you're without internet, you can still access Maine Public's four television stations over the air with an HD TV antenna. To learn more about Maine Public Television over the air and for helpful information on choosing your antenna, please visit mainepublic.org. Free access to Maine Public Television is made possible through the generous support of our members. Consider becoming a member today to help us deliver this great service to our neighbors throughout Maine. Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the value of connecting with one another. Joining joining us, singer-songwriter Noel Paul Stuckey and psychologist Amy Wood. You can join our conversation if you're quick, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. As promised, Noel Paul Stuckey is here. Noel, what do you have for us?
I have a kind of a poetic, multi-purpose suggestion song. Oh, there's one thing that brings us together, and there's one thing that'll tear us apart. And you get to choose one or the other. There's no room for both in your heart. There's no room. Some people say life has no purpose, and it doesn't matter if you do good or bad. Well, don't you believe them. Their greed has deceived them. This could be the best life you ever had. This can be the best life. And there's one thing that brings us together, and there's one thing that tears us apart. And you get to choose the one or the other, and invite the winner into your heart. Invite the winner. Some people say life has no purpose, and it doesn't matter if you do good or bad. But don't you believe them. Their greed has deceived them. This can be the best life, hey, you ever had. This can be the best life. Some people take a word and they abuse it. They hang it on a billboard, and oh, how they use it. If you get a message, hey, you can refuse it. But if you get the meaning, you never lose it. If you get the meaning, whoa. Us together, and there's one thing that'll tear us apart, and you get to choose the one or the other, and invite the winner into your heart. Invite the winner. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Noel Paul Stuckey, thank you. Can you just follow us around, Noel, and sing to all sure,
of us
I'll be
all day long?
Your roving gypsy? Yes.
I would love that. Oh, my goodness. Wow. We're going to go to Chris, who's calling from Tenants Harbor. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Thanks. Hello, everyone. And this show is wonderful. I want to share an experience I had as a young girl when I was 11 or 12 that actually shaped my life. And I had the good fortune to be invited to a Peter, Paul, and Mary concert at Yale University in the summertime, a summer evening. And I didn't go to anything like that. And there were thousands of people there, it seemed to me. and the music, the consciousness, the music, the experience was so wonderful. To be there with all those people and feel that unity inspired by the music, that it is still with me today. It really awakened something in me that still is within me, and I am so grateful for that. And I can't believe I'm getting to say thank you to Noel Paul Stuckey. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris, for being
here. I just loved it. Oh, I was so happy. Well, thank you. I'll get off the phone so someone else can talk. Thank you. Bye.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I remember Yale. Matter of fact, the producer of my new record coming out in February is, I met, went through this, through the Yale medical school system. He's now a psychiatrist living in Connecticut. And yeah, I have wonderful memories of the Yale Bowl. That was really great. Yeah, and that was a wonderful career. You know, really, Peter Mary and I sang for nearly 50 years. I mean, we took 7 years off for Good Behavior while Noel moved to Maine, followed Helen and Scott Nearing, and tried to learn how to be a farmer. And fortunately, his lovely wife and three daughters were able to endure the experience and come out the other side of it. I think probably better for it. I think we're all agreed that the move to Maine was one of the smartest things we had ever done. That was in the early 70s. But of course, a career that touches on, you know, the Yale Bowl, the Hollywood Bowl, the, you know, singing for presidents has just been a remarkable blessing for me. And yet it all boils down to what Diane said earlier in the program. It's about listening and about asking that follow-up question, you know. I'm sorry that, is Chris still on the line? Is she going?
Yeah.
I should have said,
yeah.
Where
I
did
am.
You?
I am, actually.
Where did you come from? Were you a student at Yale, or where did your mom and dad drag you along?
No, it was my friend's family invited me. My friend Pam's invited me. I was only 11 or 12, and I've been in Maine since the early 70s. Well, we also followed the Nearings up here. My husband was a great devotee, Helen and Scott. But that music, your music was so inspirational. There was so much energy and spirit in it that it really, I think it helped us a lot at that time.
It helped me a lot. I'm not talking about just paying for the college tuition for my kids. I think internally, that music taught us a lot as well. You know, because when you repeat something and investigate its, again, to use that word, authenticity, you take something away from it yourself. And yes, it was a great treat for me too, Chris. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple more calls here. I'm going to try to get to George in Blue Hill. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to go back to the top of the show when we were talking about music, specifically singing, and specifically singing together. Because what Crystal describes is fabulous. We've all experienced, I think, some connection just listening and getting, feeling a connection of some sort. But take it to another level, and you actually sing together, and you're doing something very primal, very ancient. Some people think there was singing together as a form of communication before there was language. So that's an extraordinarily powerful experience. If you can get the right song in the right environment with the right song leader and the right attitude, there's an electricity in the air that you can't get any other way. It's really, really remarkable. And it relates to what Diane said about listening, because you can't sing properly with other people unless you devote 50% of your attention span to listening to what's going on around you. So automatically, singing together creates this extraordinary connection on many levels.
That's right, George. And thank you for calling and pointing that out. And Amy, we've lost that in the pandemic. One of the first things that we were told not to do was to sing together.
That's right.
Throwing all those germs out, all that virus out. So many people looking forward to singing together again. George, thank you for that call. Let's squeeze in another one. Christopher and Edgecombe, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say very appreciative for this show, as it allows people like me to be a part of the conversation. You know, I'd love to have a chat or be a part of a conversation with some of the big hitters, you know, be it Ted Cruz or any of those people out there. But this program allows me to do that, has allowed me to do that for the past couple of years here in Maine. I've had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Stuckey at Chocolate Church in Brunswick. My wife, my kid, and I got photos, etc. Great guy. Can't thank you enough to be able to sit here like the other Chris, to be able to say thank you for being who you are. You know, years ago, decades ago, I should say, I grew up listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary with my mom in Massachusetts and public radio back then. So, again, it's just full circle for me. It comes right around to be able to sit here and chat, communication, as you say. Someday I hope to be able to meet some of the others here at Maine Public Radio, as well as Dr. Shaw, a rock star. I mean, the guy's a rock star. So, but thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't say it enough. Thank you for allowing me, a little guy, to be part of the conversation.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, and my privilege. Thank you, Chris, for taking the time to call in. An email here from Nancy. I believe that having a large network of personal and professional friends not only helps lead to professional success, but it also leads to personal fulfillment and happiness. I have made networking a big part of my life and my work. The key is not to be that guy or that girl who is always looking to take from relationships, but to find out how to be of service. I am genuinely curious about other people and go into every new relationship with a spirit of curiosity and wonder. This is my message about connection, and Maine is a great place to connect and feel connected. Amy?
Yeah, well, I think it's true. This is a great state, a great place to feel connected, and I think that the reason it's a place to feel connected is because we have more space here. Things go slower here. We tend to, in this state, draw people who want to get away from the frenetic disruption of having too much going on, not enough space, too much technology, trying to get our attention. So I know that that's what I love about Maine. I love that we can spread out and we can take our time and really listen. And as Noel put it, have that authenticity in our interactions. It feels more real.
Noel, you have the last word. Just a few seconds.
Oh, I just wanted to acknowledge that that was George Emmelin who called in, who's the musical director for Revels in Cambridge, you know, the group that celebrates the holidays in various guises. And he is also the choral director. He and I collaborated on a couple of pieces together. I recognize his voice anywhere. Thank
anywhere.
You so much. Yeah, thanks
another
for
connection.
Having me on the program. Well, Jennifer,
boy, and
Amy,
thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Oh, thank you both so much for being a part of our 10th anniversary celebration. And I feel so privileged to be connected to both of you. Amy Wood,
thank
psychologist,
you.
Executive coach and author, and Noel Paul Stuckey, singer, songwriter, and activist. Today's sound engineer, Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.